paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
That's some more Bob Mamet, but you didn't even hear his piano playing. Did you guys get to meet him, JW? Did you meet Bob when he was on the
No, I didn't meet Bob.
Oh, okay. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. JW Bacillo has been on this show 5,000 times, probably. A number of times. He runs the Chicago Slamworks, and their newest production, they've started this. Explain, will you? Chicago Slamworks.
So Chicago Slamworks.
And they started this sort of theater, and I've been following it and having you on to talk about it all the time. It's like the theater works, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it started as a nonprofit that Mark Kelly Smith started. Mark Kelly Smith, of course, is the originator of the Poetry Slam movement right here in Chicago.
And a great
guy, absolutely. And he started this nonprofit as a way to try to branch out and take on more projects that are Poetry Slam or performance poetry forward. And about 2 years ago, we started the Chicago Slamworks House Ensemble, which has now been kind of rebranded as the Ensemble Theater. But what we're trying to do is take poetry out of just the bars and the coffee shops and the libraries and that sort of thing and put them into actual theaters. So this is actually our sixth full-length world premiere show we're doing in Chicago
right,
in the last 2 years.
This is the end of your second season.
It's the end of our second season.
Three show seasons.
Yeah.
This one sounds really ambitious. Could you introduce one I know? I know
absolutely. We'll just
eventually I'll know all.
You'll know
of
us
you
all
guys, as long as you stick with him.
But we have a company member on my left. Not that you care, but anyway, on my left, Drew Smith, who's a writer and performer in the show, and then Lauren Deaton, who's doing her first show with us, and then Osiris Capera on the end. Osiris is a guy who's been a mover and a shaker in the Chicago poetry and performance poetry movement for quite a number of years, and is also a theater actor. So it makes perfect sense that this hybrid for him finally landed in our lap, and we've finally been able to get him in a show. Lauren's probably the newest to Chicago and is a poetry lover, but also a very strong actor, and we're happy to have her. She kind of fell into our lap as well. We didn't expect to have her. It was one of those things where we had a happy accident, and we're happy to have her. And this is the sixth show. Drew's done every single show with us so far.
Drew, how has this experience, I remember when we first talked, how has this experience been for you? Has it been everything you wanted it to be, everything you dreamed it would be?
Specifically working with the company or this show?
No, not working with the company at the end of two seasons, because ambitions for it were very, very high.
Yeah.
And you guys, you, JW, you didn't know quite how this
we
was
We didn't
all
know what we
work,
were doing at
did
all.
You?
No.
Yeah, no idea. I mean, it's been wonderful because for someone like me, I mean, I got my undergrad BFA in theater arts. So that's what I learned how to be an actor essentially for 4 years.
Yeah.
But I also am very passionate about writing and about making music as well. And so this company is kind of all those things rolled into one where I can kind of explore and get better at and practice all of those different art forms.
I hate to call it a hybrid because I just don't like that word.
Sure.
I seriously don't. I like to think of it more as an arts collaborative.
Different
arts were all collaborating. How did you two, young lady and young man, how did you come to this thing? How did you find it? What was the appeal?
I have known JW over here since 1847. So in a previous lifetime, we were running around together at a restaurant on in the South Loop.
Very true. and we used to read poems to each other in the office.
Or
in the alley. We'd have cigarette breaks out back smoking. Yeah, that's true. And then we finally worked together 10 years later.
10 years later. So the opportunity presented itself for me to finally be able to step into something here. And it's been a wild ride and a great process, and I'm digging it. I'm glad to be around.
I have ever been very excited by this process. It's not that I don't love what Mark Smith does. It's not that I don't love a poet sitting in a chair and reading to me, but this, I don't know whether it's to embellish it or to take it different places is exciting. Mm-hmm. Young lady, what about you? How did you? They said they're lucky to have you, is what JW said.
Oh, I'm the lucky one. friend Tegan Walsh Davis is an ensemble member, and we've been friends for many, many years. And I've been wanting to work with her, and I love words. I dabble in the arts of writing myself, and I'm just really excited. Like, I want to do the kind of work that is moving, and you know, for myself and for the audience. So I'm really happy to be part of it.
Well, it is exciting. There's no question about it. But it also is creatively challenging. Mm-hmm. That there must be no doubt about it. Because it explain again how it begins. I mean, it begins, I guess, with a word.
Sure. Well, the process usually starts with, all right, what do we want to write about? What do we want to talk about? And we have we kind of created a form that we just simply refer to as the form, where we say, here's the topic, here's a general topic. We'll all write from different perspectives, poems and sketches and things like that in that direction, and then kind of see what we have and try to make a show out of that. And that's our usual form. This is a much more narrative form, where we said, what's the story we're trying to tell?
Right.
So we've actually created characters that interact with each other inside of this narrative. So This Great Nation, Much Enduring is the show, and it follows a kind of back-of-the-pack Democratic candidate. You know, you're also ran six down the line.
This is what little I know. He sounds very much back-of-the-pack.
Back-of-the-pack. Thomas Denton is running for president, and he's, you know, he's... The thing about Denton is that he's the good guy. Like, he's the guy you would actually want to elect. Like, he's not a game player.
As opposed to everybody else running in this country.
He's not a rich guy. He's one of those guys who's like, he's not crazy.
He's not a racist.
Yeah. But he doesn't get why he's just like, I'm being honest. Why don't people love that? And that's, you know, that's his thing. So we kind of talk a lot about the process. And then as far as the whole center of the show comes down to this county that he actually grew up in. His home county, his hometown. He's just trying to win one delegate. That's his whole plan, is to win one delegate so he can get one delegate at the DNC. And they figure if he's going to win one delegate, it's going to be in his home state, in his home county. So they're like making this absolute attack war on all of the voters of the county. So they're interviewing them, and we meet almost in a Spoon River anthology kind of way. Like, we meet all these different characters all speaking in verse, doing poetry, discussing themselves and their place in the country, and how that county has dealt with war and dealt with a lot of the issues that are going. And then meanwhile, we're watching Thomas Denton bang his head against the wall, and he and his campaign manager, played by Tegan Walsh Davis, are just struggling to advance and to contend with the Hillarys and your Bernies of the world, and just trying to hang in there.
So the contemporary race plays a part in
absolutely, yeah.
Bernie,
it takes place right now.
See, this is a great idea.
Thank you.
Because I know you guys have always been topical and concerned with issues of human rights and all sorts of rights, but now you've got, God love these idiots running, you've got like this most amazing hook in the world of which you can take advantage.
Yeah, I mean, the show literally takes place like today. Like, this Sunday is when the show actually takes place.
Right. It opens Friday. How long is the run?
It's going to run for 6 weeks. It runs Friday nights in the Box Theater at Stage 773 on Belmont.
You must have, by now, we've got to take a little break. You guys are on all the way till 11.
Yeah.
You must have started over these five previous shows to attract an audience.
Sure.
This one may kick it up a notch because of the topicality of it all. But the first people who came to one of your first shows of the first season, they must have come with a little bit of trepidation, like, basically, the hell is this going to be?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Drew, I mean, you were around the very beginning. You're probably a good guy to address that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, besides our second show, which was Redlined, which actually did very well audience-wise.
That was the big hit.
But that was also topical as well, and about Chicago. And in general, I think Chicagoans like to come see art that's about their city.
No question.
But, yeah.
Well, you can look at how Second City's filled up for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that we have kind of gathered a small following. But we're still reaching out, still trying to get more people to come and get in the seats.
Go to ChicagoSlamWorks.com. You're smart people out there. I'm not going to spell it for you. ChicagoSlamWorks.com or call 773-327-5252. That's 773-327-5252. The great producer, Elif Garris, will put all this on the website so you have all the information without having to fall out of your bed. We're going to take a little commercial break, then we're going to get some news, and then we're going to explore even deeper this show that starts Friday, This Great Nation, Much Enduring. It's a cool title, too. It's a cool title. I'm so glad you guys came in, and they came in on a rainy night to do this.
Our pleasure. Happy to.
Somehow this Bob Mamet jazz music seems to fit perfectly. Don't you think?
I feel like it does.
It's pretty good because I have four nice people in here from the Chicago Slam Works doing their theater thing, the Chicago Slam Works Ensemble Theater. The new show, the last show of their second season, starts Friday and runs for 6 weeks at Stage 773. Go to chicagoslamworks.com or call 773-327-5252. Are you, there's in the, is this your first show or you've been in this whole season?
No, this is my first show.
What took you so long? What's the matter? You're great friends with him? And
he just kind of fell out of the sky. It was one of those things.
What did you then, and I'll ask you too, young lady, as someone new to the process, but someone who knows J.W. Basile for all this time, had heard a little about it, describe what the process was like for you.
This process was, for me, was truncated because I was also working on other projects simultaneously. So I was coming in and going out and coming in and coming out. But it's been really cool because I don't think I have ever, and I've been doing Chicago theater for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever worked with a company that is this collaborative. And I've had some directors in the past who have been like, wherever the good idea comes from.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it's still their horse.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But this process is definitely like literally wherever the good idea comes from, whoever has a good idea, whoever's got the thing in that moment. Okay. So I think this thing should go over here. Like the show's order has shifted today. Like it's just like everything, every single process of it is literally a very open conversation amongst everybody in the room. For me, that took some getting used to.
Sure.
Because it was a little bit like, who's the director?
Right.
What's going on?
Well, part of it, I mean, any kind of collaboration can be intimidating when you realize, I mean, it's like improv.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a director, I've always just tried to say who has the best idea. And ultimately, like, the final word in things is mine, but I don't, I'm not going to, lay down my fist.
Yeah, you know, you've never seemed autocratic.
No. Everything I learned about directing, I read an interview with Harold Ramis when he was directing Analyze This with Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal. And in the quote he pulled out was, he goes, "I don't care if the guy holding the boom mic has a funny joke. It's going in the movie. I don't care who it is on set." Right. And I've always tried to take that to heart as a director. And whoever's got the best idea is the idea we're going with.
Boy, that implies there are no insecurities with this man. That's
oh, there's
it
plenty
implies.
Of them. They don't come out in writing.
I know they are, but they don't come out in this.
No, they're in the writing.
So when you this show titled This Great Nation, Much Enduring, about a decent human being who is... Is he a decent?
He's really is just a good guy. He's likable.
I'm not compared to these idiots.
No,
here.
As a human being, really he's a really decent human being. Just trying to survive in the political climate. He's a junior senator who,
trying to grab one delegate,
one whole delegate.
Yeah. Narrative is important in a show like that.
Absolutely,
no question. I don't mean just the words, but the plotting and the flow of it. How does it start?
It opens up with Thomas Denton on stage. Thomas Denton is the senator that we're following, and he's on stage, and he's giving his initial address. You know, ladies and gentlemen, our hearts go out to the brave men, and then it really goes from there. It opens up just with your standard issue boilerplate address that a presidential candidate does.
You'd make
a
in a
times.
Gymnasium or a church and a school.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it goes out from there, and we see him interacting with his staff and with his team, and then we start meeting these residents of Delish County who are speaking mostly and primarily in verse. And there are a whole bunch of moments that step out of time, outside of the narrative, and we do these poems that are kind of more outside looking in, and then we meet these characters, and then near the end, the characters all kind of come together and meet up in one place.
So it premieres on Friday. You open on Friday.
Yeah.
Is it set now, or is the collaborative at one point you have to?
We changed it.
Change every week.
We made a change this afternoon. We cut things and rearranged the order this afternoon because it was just we talked about it and we all kind of took a light vote and we're like, I think this is the way to go. Yeah, we're making changes all the time, and we go into tech tomorrow, so we're gonna, I guarantee we're gonna make changes at tech.
What's the running time of the show?
About 80 minutes. It's really,
oh,
really easy.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, you sit down, you watch it, you're out.
That's easy. Perfect. That's yeah. perfect. You guys want to do something from the show?
Sure.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, this, let me just set this up. This is this is a piece actually written by our lead writer, Shelley Elaine Geisler, who is, she is actually a company member as well. She did the first five shows with us, but she actually decided to step away and not be an actor in the show, not be a performer, but rather just kind of be the writer in charge. Who was the one kind of leading the conversation and steering a lot of the narrative. So this is a piece called Un-American. This is by this is written again by Shelley, but it's performed by Drew Smith and Osiris Capera. And why don't you guys just take it away?
Thank you, gentlemen.
I am an American. Sea to shining scree.
You, Un-American, land of the plea.
Breed American.
Feed American. Gallantly stream
American TV. And nation blood in congenital strife.
United stand.
Un-American we.
Have the revolutions disappointed you?
All but one you don't recall.
Run American.
Ran American.
Gun American.
Americans fall. Mattress sale for presidents.
Mattress
sale
for
4th of July.
Mattress sale for MLK.
Mattress sale, soldiers died. I'm,
un-American?
Land of the plea.
You,
un-American.
Scree to shining scree.
You shed grace in parking lots. Pioneer's pride at wounded knee.
Oh, hey, divine American, wash American out to sea.
The revolutions have disappointed us. Time to kneel before our legacy.
Speak American.
Shoot American.
United un-American
we.
Breed American.
Feed American.
Nation blood
inherent be.
Hold your face up to the mirror.
Each of us is one of thee.
And that's a piece.
Wow. Wow. That's really terrific.
Yeah. We don't want to give away too much, so
no,
we didn't do a lot of the
not.
Character ones, but this is one of the ones that kind of steps out of time, and it's a third, kind of a third-person perspective. So, yeah, these guys have taken that one a long way. Like, it started out as just an idea, and I remember Osiris in the first day was looking at me like, how are we, do you want us to do it? And
Well, Osiris has been around too long.
Been around,
he's not going to
yeah.
just come in here and do whatever you tell him to do.
No, well, that's kind of what he was looking for. Like, what do you want? I said, just play it and just see what happens. And so these guys kind of bounce it off each other and stretch it around like Taffy for a while, and eventually they really found their voice together. So
definitely.
Yeah. Do you think, and I want to pursue this after we take we're going to take a short little break at a quarter two, but even when we first talked about this last year when you were beginning this is, to me, a really a new form that you have invented and are creating, and it's a kind of organic kind of form. It's unlike anything that I know of, certainly in this town. Maybe they're doing it in some basement in Berlin or something.
Sure.
But, and then it would be in German, so I wouldn't understand it anyway. So.
Well, we've had Germans in here, too, if you remember.
I do.
That was the first time I did
for
the
poetry. So
yeah,
for,
5 years ago, for the 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary. There were. And I'll tell you something. That was really an amazing thing, and it told me a great deal about art. Some German poets in here reading, speaking, reciting German poetry, and it was moving as hell, and I didn't understand one word.
Right.
It's
something.
The feeling,
Really.
All right, let's take a little break, then come back, and I want to talk about this new form, what I consider a new form of theater, and a very compelling form, too.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. We have about 10 minutes, but 10 more minutes to convince you to go this Friday and for the next 6 weeks to This Great Nation, Much Enduring. It is a theatrical piece that takes dead square aim at the lunacy and the triviality and the fearsome nature of this current presidential campaign. J.W. Basilo's in here. He's the director, so these nice three people. Laura Deaton, Osiris Kepara. Close enough.
Close enough.
Drew Smith, I can do, man. Drew Smith is like made for me. They are members of the cast. Osiris and Drew just did what I thought was a brilliant few minutes of this thing. It is I think sometimes people be like it's a bunch of poetry stuff. No, it's not that. That's what I want to try to convince people that this is. This is a different kind of plant that includes poetry. Mm-hmm. It's theater, poetry, music. Young lady, why don't you talk to me about why are you doing this? What's the appeal for you? Is it that appeal, the sort of exciting kind of mixture of various art forms?
Absolutely. I'm definitely a big fan of the collaborativeness of this art. Working with everybody, you know, in this piece particularly, there's a lot of scenes where there's the opportunity to play multiple characters. So we're you know, doing a lot with words, but we're also, you know, having a lot of different voices in this piece. And it's just been really lovely working together. I know as a newcomer, I had to sort of – it was – a little challenging. We're like, okay, everybody knows everybody. Everybody's speaking the same language. And I was super eager to get in on that. I'm like, okay, what's the vibe of this ensemble like? But it's been super welcoming and just a great experience. And I think it's a real good thing we got going here.
Well, I think also, and I don't want to belabor this and make it sound insane, but it also must be to the four of you, nurturing as artists, because you do get to stretch sometimes in ways that you know, I don't know if you're all writers, but my God, you start to do that.
Yeah. Well, we all are writers. Every one of us are writers, and we're all performers, and everyone has a hand in everything. So the cool thing about what we're doing is it forces us to write from a lot of different perspectives. Like, for example, I'm writing poetic monologues for highly conservative characters. And as, you know, your typical bedwetting liberal artist type, like, there's, you know, I have to write from the perspective of your typical Trump supporter and write a compelling poem from that perspective. And that really forces us to work. And then Lauren has the misfortune of having, the challenge, the lovely challenge and fortune of getting to play those characters. So we all have to write from those places. And the thing is, this allows us to work in so many different forms in movement and in poetry and straight up traditional acting. I mean, kind of like when you go to a musical and you see sometimes they just break into song. It's like you go to this and it's a play. And sometimes and frequently we break into poetry.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of it's a different feel, but it allows us to work so many different muscles.
Yeah. You guys, too, must you're both smiling, so it must be Drew, you've been involved in this from the very outset.
Well, I guess to speak on the form that you're talking about, I had a friend he's seen, I think, most of our shows since we started, and he gave us very high praise, which I've always tried to, meet every time we go into the rehearsal room or the writing room, and he said that watching our shows was like watching modern urban Shakespeare.
And
I don't, you know, I don't want to walk around saying that's what we do.
I put that on the marquee.
It's definitely mighty praise, but it's something that I like to think that we push ourselves to achieve and feel. So, I think if people want to come see what we're about, that's maybe one way to describe it.
Urban Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, it is as I know your stuff is, there is humor in this, too. Yes. I mean, it's not some, you know, I'm so dead tired of the incredible stigma that poetry still seems to carry. Yeah. It drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. I mean, go hear Billy Collins read a poem or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's not... It's the way we were all taught in schools is what the problem is.
And I talk about that a lot when I teach in schools. Like, we don't teach poetry in a way that, like, you don't typically teach. And, you know, most people's poetry education is spend an hour looking at this Robert Frost poem and tell
us
And what does the horse symbolize? Like, who cares about the horse? What do you feel, right?
Right.
But in this, we talk a lot about this is a legit satire. Like, we try to make it as touching as it is funny, as it is thoughtful, as it is everything. And we really, every show that we do, we try to create a real true blend. The hybrid word or whatever it is we're using, not only a blend of theater and poetry and movement and dance and music, but also a real blend of theme and of topic and the whole kind of broad range of emotions.
And ideas. Yeah.
And ideas,
let's not ignore the whole notion of ideas out there. And satire, you may have time. I hate to do this to you, but, you know, this Indiana primary on Tuesday is a huge deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it settles it all for Trump or what happens if Hillary loses. But and during the course of these 6 weeks, I mean, you got to probably do some minor massaging here and there.
We might have to tweak it. Well, like Redlined, our second show from last season, was following Rahm Emanuel's. It was during that election cycle.
Yeah, sure.
And then it went to runoff. So we're like, all right, now we got to tweak this whole thing. And then every time Rahm did something
Playing Chewy Garcia?
Yeah. Every time Rahm did something stupid in the media, not that our great mayor would do that.
Never.
But every time our great mayor would do something of that nature, we would tweak it and work that joke into the show that week. So it was really, really, really true. Week to week. So I imagine we might have to massage some things.
Yeah, but that's why I'm thinking that people may want to make plans to go see that more than
just
once.
Just go every week. Why not?
That's not. Awesome. I'm serious.
Different show.
It's not a bad idea.
Every week is not a bad idea.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are $20, or if you go to and they're for a theater ticket, like $20.
Yeah,
cheap.
Yeah,
and you can get them discount on Gold Star and all over the place. So they're easy to find.
So, but you think of a show like, Hamilton. I haven't seen Hamilton, but Hamilton redefining.
Yeah, I'm absolutely.
Serious, redefining.
Yes.
Redefining Broadway.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, but that's a $600 ticket when it comes to Chicago.
If you can get it. Yeah.
If you can get it.
What he should do, he seems like a good enough guy.
Oh, yeah.
He should just give up an entire day to working poets
just the artists,
in Chicago.
That would be amazing.
Yes. And it's not, just knowing what little I know about him, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, probably not.
It really isn't. So,
yes,
you're going to end with this one. You're going to do this forever, aren't you?
We're certainly going to keep doing it. We don't know if we plan on moving into next season and the following season. We've had a really great run with 773, and they've been very, very supportive of us from the very beginning. Brian Posen, the artistic director there, just kind of heard about what we were doing, and we had a meeting, and he goes, you sound like you're doing some cool stuff. Do you want to do a show? And we're like, we could totally do a whole show. We had no plans of being a theater company. And then he goes, you could do a whole season, right? And we went, yeah, totally. We'll do a whole season.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we had a whole season, and then they extended us to a second. And we hope to extend our work there, but who knows what's going to happen. But we're just going to keep going, and I can't imagine stopping.
No, I can't either.
Anytime soon.
I can't either. Let's say something like this, this great nation. I mean, I know it's a six-week run, but there's ever the possibility with what you're doing here, and I really do believe this, that you could hit, and that a show, maybe it's this one, could absolutely hit and become something of a, if people would just get the word.
Sure.
It's like the first time Nichols and May were at the Compass Players. I'm not kidding you. The word spreads, and could you, all have other lives, and you all have to make a living. This is not a financial windfall.
It's not a windfall.
Yeah.
But this is my job.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
But could you see that happening? I think I think that's going to happen.
Potentially. With Redlined, there was talk of it being optioned as a short film last year, or actually doing that show and putting it into a film thing, and we didn't end up pursuing it, but that was an option, or a touring show as well, taking it to other cities and things. So we're always open to those kind of possibilities, and I think this show, if it hits is the way we hope it does and the way we think it will, we're always open to extending it or taking it somewhere else, or even reoptioning it or doing it every year in a different form. The great thing is we can change it however we want because we wrote the thing.
Yeah, it does seem, and it seems so agile.
Try to be.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, Rick.
The Chicago Slam Works, Ensemble Theater. They used to be just the Chicago Slamworth.
Well, we had too many wings, man. We had to keep expanding.
With its newest addition, Lauren Deaton, Osiris Capera. Is that closer?
You got it.
And yes, my buddy
Drew, and my buddy Drew, and my buddy Drew Smith. And we hope we can all see each other at the opening of Hamilton when it opens.
Hey.
In that famous, what I wanted to call Lin-Manuel, like, hey, have a free ticket day. Have a free ticket day. Yeah. A couple of you know how much I admire what you do. You two, I hope you realize how much I admire what you do. This
Thank
is
you
a
so
grand
much.
Thing, and it's grand to it stretches you as artists, but it's also the collaborative nature mm-hmm. of what you're doing is what's really, really important, because you learn from one another and you entertain people.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to ChicagoSlamWorks.com to see the show opens Friday. This great nation, much enduring, and runs 6 weeks, and maybe, God knows, forever.
Maybe more.
Maybe forever. We'll take a little commercial break, and then I'll come back and say goodnight to you.
Thanks, Rick.
Oh, there's no commercial break. What else do you guys want to say for 2 minutes?
Please
come to our show.
Yes,
say anything you want.
Please come to the show. Please come to our show.
What did you want to plug?
I want to plug Felix Mays.
Oh, yeah, Felix Mays. We didn't
talk about
the whole
Felix.
Cast. You're the man.
Talk about the whole cast.
Yeah, Felix Mays is a great poet and actor, new-ish transplant to Chicago. He plays Senator Thomas Denton. He plays the presidential hopeful. And then Tegan Walsh Davis, who is an original company member with us, she plays Senator. She plays Kim Kaplan, essentially his campaign manager. So they're wonderful. They are absolutely electric together. And then Kyla Norton, our newest member, who's like fresh out of Columbia College here in the city. She plays Penelope in the show, in this sort of loosely Odyssey thing we have going on. Truly,
like they're being this loosely.
It really is. There really is a loosely.
That's right. You got to touch in Homer when you can.
Well, we can. You know, there's the winds of Twitter.
When it was early poets. Yeah.
It's all extrapolated. So there's like, you know, there's the winds of Twitter. The Cyclops is actually a blind pollster. Things like that. It kind of moves down.
I got to get up there. I have not seen enough of your shows. How big's the ensemble?
Ensemble, we've gotten to the place where we're actually able to cast show to show. So we have, we initially cast, I think, like 12 or 16 people, and then some of those folks dropped out. Some people are still with us. And then we're actually about to do generals for the summer. So we're going to cast anywhere from 6 to 12 players per show for the next 3 shows over the season. So we
I'm
just
with,
keep going,
I'm
man.
I'm with you, kids, man. I think it's just a great, great thing to have in this city. Go to ChicagoSlamWorks.com. Call 773-327-5252. The show opens Friday and runs for 6 weeks and perhaps forever. It's stage 773.
Say no, love it.
Thanks a million for listening. Go to the show.